church here, and they've been a real friend to me through the years. And I'm thankful for each time I've been able to preach here, and for Brother Bennett and his ministry. And I thank Brother Guiley for preaching in my place. Lord changes and speaks to us. I start out kind of weary. My wife, it wasn't the Lord that spoke to me, it was my wife. She said if I didn't refinish the kitchen cabinets, she was going to pay somebody to do it. But God uses our weakness. In Job 28, I'd like to read a portion of scripture on the subject of wisdom. I have preached this sermon several times, and I know there's people here that have heard it, but it won't hurt you to hear it again. Job 28, the scripture says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, that he weighs the waters by measure. And when he hath made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it and prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." I'm going to say a few things different than I usually say. Other than an occasional anecdote, I really don't talk about my life in sermons, but I seem like I wanted to leave a testimony of God's grace. So I'll just speak a few moments about what the Lord has done by his grace in my life. A few months ago, I was with my brother. I have a twin brother. And my son was with us. I think we were fishing. And my son suddenly said to my brother, he said, "What was Dad like when he was young?" And my brother said, "He was a rebel." And that hurt me in a way to think that my brother remembered those things. And that my son ever heard such a thing about his dad. It saddened me. Well, of course, Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the Lord saved me by his grace. It was all by his grace, from election of grace to kept by grace. And my conversion was such that I was under conviction a long time, and no one around seemed to be able to help me. The church that I went to, they had this Romans Road type of evangelism, and I soon saw that that wasn't working. But at any rate, finally I came to full assurance and peace in Christ. And I wasn't growing. The Lord, through some events, caused me to think one day, I need to start reading the Bible. And I did. I read it every day. I'd come in late at night after work and read the Bible for a while. Well, you know, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I remember, even now, things I read out of the Scripture and what they did and what they meant to me since that time. But there were two Scriptures that lay hold of my heart and that I began to think a great deal about. One of them was found in the Scripture that we've just read, where it said the price of wisdom is far above rubies. And I began to think about that, how valuable wisdom was. The other one was James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And those things took hold of me, and I began to ask God to give me wisdom. I never had thought about that before. But of course, we're not to be wise in our own eyes, but to depart from evil. But, you know, still, that's the promise, and I'm just telling you the story of what took place. Well, there also came to be a wrestling in my spirit of wanting to serve the Lord and do what He wanted me to do, but I wasn't sure that I would like His idea. But I said, Lord, I can't say that I'm willing to do whatever You want me to do, but I am willing for You to work in my life and to make me willing. And the day finally came when I could say that to the Lord. Well, another experience I had was I began to pray. And on my bed at night, I would pray and talk to the Lord. And I was at a prayer meeting one night, and I was asked to speak. And while I was speaking, suddenly the Spirit of God seemed to descend, and almost you would have to speak of it as waves, the power. And I'm not trying to make anything out of that. I'm just telling you what happened, and it seemed to affect a great many people. I think we are saddened in our day to live in a day where most people don't believe in revival. They don't believe that the Lord, by His power, can shake a place and wake up a people. It's kind of like our children. If we had gone, say I'm 70 years old, if we had gone 70 years and we had never seen a revival, it wouldn't enter into the minds of people to think about it. But it's kind of like our children. If they had never seen rain, and in their entire life they had never seen the rainfall, and you said, you know, I've seen rain, water fall from heaven, they'd look at you and they'd say, oh, no, that couldn't happen. And that's where we are today. People have never seen God bless. They've never seen the Spirit of God come upon a place or upon a people or upon a congregation. And therefore, they don't pray for it because they don't really believe in it. Another thing I might mention is my call to preach. Paul said, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. I never had spoken to a preacher. We kind of went to a mega church. And I didn't know anything about preachers. I didn't know a thing in the world about preaching. But suddenly, I began to think about it and think that it seemed like a good thing. And as I look back, it reminds me so much of what Paul said, if any man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. But I began to think about that. Well, we're talking about wisdom. The first thing I'd like to tell you about wisdom is that there is such a thing as wisdom. The world today doesn't believe in wisdom. They believe you get things done one way or another, and yet they don't believe that. They believe that the end justifies the means, but they don't believe that there is wisdom or truth that has real meaning and is life-changing. And so we'd like to talk about this business of wisdom. First of all, we need to understand that wisdom is not education. Education in and of itself is kind of a neutral thing. It can be good, it can be bad. Germany was the most educated country in the world when they killed 6 million Jews. So it's not education. And I'm certainly not saying that education in and of itself is bad, but it's not wisdom. Wisdom is not a degree. It is not the polish that comes from being around educated people. You know, you hear little phrases and so on that people take as a sign of education. It is not being published, being looked upon as great by our heirs. It is not mysterious. When people think of wisdom, some people think of a cave in Tibet or a mountain, lonely mountaintop. They think of wisdom as being there, the Hollywood stars. They want to go over to Tibet and feel that in that strange and mysterious place, in some cave, that they can find wisdom. Other people see wisdom as a robe, maybe the saffron colored robe of a Buddhist monk, or the academic robe of a man in a university. Wisdom is not bought with money, but with desire. You might notice in Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6, the scripture says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the way and find the knowledge of the Lord. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. We think of a prospector out in the desert suffering through the cold of night and the heat and dryness of the day. And we think of the desire he has to strike it rich. And yet the scripture says that the way wisdom is obtained is you want it just like the prospector wants silver and gold. Wisdom is not something that we can obtain without our heart, our whole heart being in it. And so it's not bought with money, but it's obtained by desire. It's not inherited. You don't get it from your parents. You know, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He had a son named Rehoboam who was the dumbest man that ever lived. It's not produced by pride, but by humility. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so we talk about wisdom. Wisdom is not truth. Wisdom is the love of the truth. There's a difference. It's the new birth. You know, you have the order of salvation given in several verses. One of those verses is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. It says, "For of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Now, let me explain that verse very quickly. For of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who has made of God unto us wisdom, that's the new birth. Righteousness, that's the imputed righteousness of Christ. Sanctification, that's spiritual growth. And redemption, that's the redemption of the body, the final redemption that comes in salvation. And so where does wisdom begin? Well, wisdom begins in a new birth and a pouring of the love of God into our hearts and understanding of spiritual things. Now, wisdom has great value, and I want to show you why that is. In 1 Kings chapter 3, the scripture says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast given thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy people is in the midst of And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people?" Now notice, and the Lord pleased, and the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." This is, to me, a wonderful example of the value of wisdom. Solomon is at Gibeon, and he prays to the Lord, and God speaks to him. And God says, "Solomon, I'm going to give you whatever you want." You talk about a genie in a bottle. "I'm going to give you whatever you want." And Solomon says, "Lord, I don't have the ability to rule this great people. I'm just a child. I don't know how to come in or go out. I pray that you'd give me wisdom to be the king that I ought to be." And God came to him. And God said, I really like your request. And I'm going to honor that request. I'm going to give you everything you ask for. But I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to give you the things you didn't ask for." Amen. You say, "Well, what's so great about that as far as we're concerned?" is this. It's still that way. When you ask God for wisdom, and you ask it not from a double-minded situation, but you ask God because you really want wisdom, God will give you wisdom. And he'll give you everything you didn't ask for. You say, well, show us what you mean by everything you didn't ask for. Well, in Proverbs 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. When God gives you wisdom, he gives you happiness with it. Somebody said to me the other day, you're the happiest person I know. I said, I'm the happiest person I know. Don't mean I don't have any problems, but people sometimes get on me because I joke. But like Spurgeon said, if you knew how much I held back, you'd cut me some slack. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. You listen to what's being said. I'll give you wisdom, but I'll give you what you didn't ask for. I'll give you happiness. I'll give you things that are better than the merchandise of silver and the gain of fine gold. In verse 15 it says, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. You say, I want to live a long time. Well, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Ask the people in Hollywood if their way is pleasant. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And so it's still that way. God will give you wisdom, and he'll give you the things you didn't ask for. Another thing we want to say about wisdom is that as we study the scriptures, we learn that wisdom is a divine person. For instance, in Proverbs 1, verse 20 through 23, it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. And so the Lord there is speaking of Christ, and it reminds us of words that are found in the Gospel of John, how that Christ would be poured out, his spirit would be poured out upon us. Then we think of Proverbs 8 and verse 22. The scripture says, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. Set up in the Hebrew is anointed. He's the Christ, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. He says in verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. People have talked about God created man because he was lonely. I assure you that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were never lonely, but they had a perfect and eternal communion. And so the Bible speaks of Christ as wisdom. It says, unto ye which are called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. It says of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's one place in the Bible where it says, wisdom saith. And another place in the Bible talking about the same event says, Christ said. Christ is the greater son of David. You say, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Yeah, and that tells you that men are not too wise. But Jesus is the greater son of David. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the word of God. He's the truth of God. He's our prophet. The revelation of God came through Christ. I want you to notice a couple of scriptures that I thought would be well to look at in this place. In John 14 and verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Now notice, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is to come into the world, and he's going to speak, but he's not going to speak of himself. It's not things that come forth out of him, but he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, what is the Holy Spirit going to teach? The things that Christ spoke. And he's going to teach us how? By bringing things to the mind of the apostles, giving them an accurate memory of what Christ taught. Jesus is our prophet. He's the prophet, priest, and king. And he's the source of all truth. He is truth incarnate. In John 16, verse 13 and 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, that shall he speak. Notice, what's the Holy Spirit going to speak? What he has heard from Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The truth didn't come from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from the apostles. They were witnesses of it. But it came from Christ. And then we think about the work that wisdom has to do. It is our business to make the gospel known, to cry out. In Proverbs 9, the Bible speaks about this. Proverbs 9, verse 3 and 4. It says, she hath sent forth her maiden, she hath cried upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and ask for him that wanteth understanding. She saith, come eat of my bread, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. And so it's our job to cry out in the city, in the places where men are found, and let them know that there is a Savior, and that there is such a thing as wisdom. We need to build. Notice what we're told in Proverbs 9 and verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. Wonder what house that is. Think it might be the one we're in? Wisdom hath builded her house. Wisdom has a house. Wisdom's always had a house. Had a house at Bethel. Moses built a house. Solomon built a house. Zerubbabel built a house. And Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my house. And so wisdom has a house. And then we want to feast. In Proverbs 9 and verse 3, or Proverbs 9 and verse 5, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. You know, we ought to look at a church service as a feast. Of the coming to feast on God's word. And then it's our business to win souls. Proverbs 11 verse 30 says, The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. That's the greatest joy in life. Last Saturday, I was preaching in where I was preaching, but anyway, I was preaching somewhere, and a family came in. And I looked at them, it was five little children, cute little children, and a husband and a wife. And I remembered years earlier, I was preaching up in Galena, Ohio. And I preached a sermon on the gospel and how the invitations of the gospel were sincere. And there was a man there, and 2 hours after I left, God saved him. And he waited 5 years, and he wrote me a letter. And he said, you maybe remember me. He said, you came to our church. He told about himself and what he'd been taught. He said, but you preached that God meant what he said, and that when he called men to come, that he meant for them to believe that this was a sincere call. And he said, 2 hours after you left, God saved me. And that family came in. I hadn't seen them but once since then. And I looked at that and I thought, what could be more precious? Five children have a Christian daddy. Christian home. What's worth more than that? Yesterday I had to preach to just a handful of people. And two people, as they were going out, they said, man, I really enjoyed that. And I thought, you know, long ways to drive to preach to a couple of people. But the ones you're preaching to are the blood-bought flock of Christ. And maybe it comforts them. Maybe it makes the Savior more precious to them. It's a wonderful work that we're engaged in. And wisdom's work is to win souls.